Welcome to the Shiny Brightly Show. I'm Howard Brown, author, speaker, Silicon Valley entrepreneur, international peacemaker, and yes, a two-time stage 4 cancer patient survivor and advocate. Each episode will take you from resilience to hope and a whole lot more, because shining brightly does make the world a better place. Be prepared to be inspired.
Hello, it's Howard Brown. It's the Shining Brightly Show. We are here to motivate, educate, and inspire. Oh my goodness, I am so happy. The champ is in the house. Randy Boom Boom Blake, welcome. How you doing, man?
Hey, man, it's good to be here. I'm excited.
Thank you. So happy to see you, man. So this is an incredible story, and we're all about shining brightly here, but this is incredible. So let me tell you a little bit about Randy, because I recently, over the last couple of months, got introduced to Randy. We're doing an author journey show. We'll shout out to Sanit Van Breda, and we're part of the Art of Connection crew with Robert W. Jones and Natalie McQueen. So lots of shout outs there. But let me tell you, Randy is the coolest cat, man. Let me just tell you. So Randy Boom Boom Blake Jr., okay, he basically journeyed into martial arts. We're going to tell you that story. We're going to tell you some childhood piece, but he's been doing this for 31 years, and he's a 5-time ASKA heavyweight world champion, 5th-degree black belt in karate, and his dedication to the sport has had him introduced to the Martial Arts Hall of Fame multiple times. Ooh, this is incredible. In the world of kickboxing, he had a 52-7 record with 35 knockouts. That's where the boom boom comes from, I imagine. And including, he was in the top league with Chuck Norris in the World Combat League of K1 and Glory. This is incredible stuff. So he basically transformed that discipline and dedication of karate in his life, okay, into being a coach beyond the ring. He's dedicated to serving individuals and helping them achieve their goals. He's a motivational speaker. He's a book author, and he talks in churches, and he talks at prisons and colleges and schools. I know you love talking to the kids and give them inspiration to, for a good life. You were honored with the Presidential Lifetime Achievement Award. That's a big honor. Wow, congrats on that. And you just have a deep, deep desire to take your athletic achievements and basically help lift up others, which is all about shining brightly, is lift up yourself, which you did, and then you lift up others. And I'm just so, so privileged about that. We're going to talk about your book, which is Boom, A True Story of Perseverance, Mental Toughness, and Overcoming Adversity. So I want to welcome you, Randy. I'm really honored to be here, and I just love being around you, and I want my audience to hear from you today. So I'm excited. All right, with that grand introduction, tell me how you're shining brightly today.
Well, today, I'm just happy to be on the show. I'm always with a smile on my face, and I'm always looking to inspire others using my martial arts principles and trying to help make the world a better place.
We are aligned. We are aligned, okay, and we are fine. All right, well, I want you to take me through as a little kid, because it wasn't always this way. A little bit through your childhood and what happened, and sign of your mom's aha moment there. Give me some of the childhood background.
Yeah, so well, my first aha moment was I was getting bullied, picked on. I didn't realize it at the time, but, you know, I would get my head raked against the fence every day, and I would just kind of let it be. Pretty much one day, my aunt picked me up, and I get into the back seat, and she looks back to ask how my day was, but she saw a big wad of spit just kind of rolling down my face, and she just flipped out. She just lost her cool. Like, whoa, what's going on? Yeah. But the parallel to that was I was always watching a guy named Jean-Claude Van Damme. I was very inspired by this guy. There was a movie called Bloodsport, for you guys who don't know what that is. It's the guy doing splits and kicks and fighting in this cool arena, and then he had all the cool chicks. And I thought it was cool. So my mom decided, well, let's get him into martial arts. And my dad decided, well, yeah, let's do that. But I can get him a boxing bag, too, so he can practice his punches and kicks. And so that was really my aha moment, because when I jumped into martial arts, I instilled confidence, or I was instilled confidence in me. And I had maybe 4 or 5 lessons. This bully tried to put me in a headlock and spit on me and do whatever he was going to try to do to me. And I don't really remember what I did. I swung at him, I did something. The whole point was I had enough confidence to stand up to this bully, and he left me alone. So that was my aha moment, and that was my journey into the martial arts world.
I love that story. Not the fact that you were bullied, okay? The fact is that you actually took action on it. Bullying still exists, okay? There's all formats of bullying right now, online bullying and in-person bullying, and it still happens. But the fact that, Auntie saw the spit coming off you, and that's just sickening to me, spitting on a little kid. You were 11 or 12, right? And the fact that your parents supported you in this, and that bullying went away, and there's a real lesson to learn from that. So, all right. So now you're taking some lessons. You're learning the sport. You're learning the discipline. Take me through your martial arts journey, because one of the things I will tell you, Randy, everyone has to find their happy place, and you found yours. I'm the basketball court guy. I find the happy, and I say this in my book: find your happy place and go there often. Schedule it in. I don't care if it's cooking, travel, yoga, meditation, hiking, fishing. Go there, and you found it. Take me to your happy place now. Take me to the martial arts.
Yeah, so I was always a good kid. I was always pretty laid back, just kind of easygoing. My grades were pretty decent, but I noticed when I jumped into martial arts, the confidence really rose. But one of the biggest things that stuck out to me was my confidence to talk to people became better. My grades, talking to people, just martial arts brought a lot of those aspects out of me that I didn't realize that I had. But I will say on the downfall of things, I had students in class who would challenge me to the point to where it made me almost want to quit. So I always tell people like you have to have the good, but you have to have the bad too. And so luckily I had two good parents who they said, "I'm paying all this money. You're not quitting, buddy. So you're gonna take your little behind the class. I don't care if you get your butt handed to you. You're going to go because I pay it for it. You're going to get your black belt." So I'm very thankful for those moments because I wouldn't be here on this podcast with you today talking. So martial arts has been a huge part of my life, and it's just exciting.
All right. So take me through a story that you were sparring, but then you're actually going to get into real contact with Master Kick. Tell us who Master Kick is, and tell us that transition.
Yeah, so now this is after high school. I go off to college because I decided I was gonna be like Michael Jordan. That was my whole thing. Growing up as a kid, you see these Gatorade commercials. You see this guy sticking his tongue out, slam dunking. I can't tell you, Howard, if you haven't done this before, you're probably lying as a 90s kid. The 3-2-1 buzzer beater, you get the ball of socks, you roll it up and you shoot it in the hamper. We all wanted that story. So I decided I was going to go on this journey and be like Michael Jordan. So I went to multiple colleges. I tried out. I was told no. So I come across a small college here in Oklahoma. It was a junior college. I ended up getting a walk-on position and I just felt out of place. So I decided to drop out. I dropped out of college, I moved back home with my parents, and I found martial arts again. So now I'm 19 years old. I'm rekindling my craft and love for the art, and I'm in class with this instructor. And in martial arts, you have semi-contact sparring. It's not full-blown hitting. You're just going through the moves, technique. You're a practitioner, just getting a good sweat. Nobody wants to get bloody nose or bruises because you have to go to work and school the next day if you're going to school. This instructor at the time, he says, "Randy, you're really good. I would like for you to come and do the fighters class." So I said, "Okay, cool." So this went on for weeks and weeks and weeks and weeks. And after every class, he would like put me in the corner and say, "Randy, please just come try it out. Please, 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 please." So about a month or so later, he finally, like, his voice got deep, he got real stern. "Randy, please try the class out, because in this karate class, we can't hit hard. In this fighter's class, if you'll just come try it out one time, you can know what it feels like to hit somebody full blown, not get in trouble, you're not gonna get push-ups, you're not gonna lose your belt, but also they can hit you back, and so you can know what it feels like to get hit." And so I just said, okay, fine, I'll try it out. It's free. One time, maybe you'll leave me alone so I can go back to my martial arts class.
All right, so who is tell the gentleman's name. Tell your instructor's
So
name.
the gentleman's name was David Master Kick Volpman.
Master kick. All
And
right.
the name is very monumental to me because I decided to do that one kickboxing fighters class, and I enjoyed it. I got a chance to hang out with seasoned veterans, guys who are preparing for fights, guys who have, multiple fights in the game, and I'm this amateur rookie karate guy in there hanging out with, big giants as a 19-year-old. And I never will forget this because after that class, that one class, he comes up to me, he looks me in the eyes, because he looks up to me because I'm 6'3", 6'4", so he's about 5'10". So he looks up to me and he goes, Randy, if you will stick with this class, you will become a world champion. Now,
Wow.
back then, I'm 19 years old. The word world champion is huge. I'm thinking of guys like Mike Tyson, Evander Holyfield. I'm thinking of Chuck Liddell, Randy Couture. The list goes on. And I'm going, I don't want anything to do with those guys. There's no way a little old me can become world champion. And so that was a big monumental aha piece in my life because I never saw David Boltman after that moment ever again. So, he ended up drug overdose and committing suicide. And I sit here today and I tell you, I'm very honored and privileged to be here because had I not taken that journey to go back into the fighters class, there wouldn't be any world titles, there wouldn't be any success after that with me. So.
This is incredible because, first of all, hit or be hit, and you got the feeling. But here's the thing: Master Kick saw something in you that you quite didn't see in yourself. Okay, and I call that mentorship is leadership. All right, you allowed him to guide you in the right direction. Okay, but he saw something in you. I had that same person. Okay, I had a woman named Marilyn Snyder that helped me transfer into Babson College because I was in a liberal arts school and not an entrepreneurship school. We need to be open, okay? That's the lesson. Be open to that mentorship and people that guide you, okay, and take you down the right path. And really, may Master Kick's, name and memory be only for a blessing, because he took his own life, and we're going to talk about that after as well. But so now you're on your way. Let's continue this, because there's a story here, okay, where you started to get involved now in serious competition. All right. So take us through the next step of your career here into the championship and Chuck Norris and Champ Shepard and all this stuff.
Yeah, so at that time, I was still trying to find myself because I told you guys before I just dropped out of college. Well, doing that also led me into the club scene. So I was partying, hanging out. I was a bouncer. I was making $10 an hour, but going into that fighter's class really pulled me out of that world. So it put me on a path to start to do good things. And next thing I know, with hard work, dedication, perseverance, self-discipline, I'm now fighting. So I'm maybe 9 months into training, and now I've got, two amateur fights and one professional fight. And so I'm not even thinking about making it to the big leagues. I'm just happy to just get to hit people and not get in trouble for it. And so next thing I know, I get an invitation to be on this league. And this is back in 2007. There was a league at that time called the WCL, the World Combat League, and it was hosted by Chuck Norris himself. And so, just to give you a quick background on what that was, you have to imagine it being like basketball, football, a team-based sport. So you had multiple weight classes, and it was a team setting. So you had your starters and you had your alternates. Okay, and you have one individualized weight class go out. They fight in the middle of this ring ball. So it wasn't a rope like a boxing ring, and it wasn't a cage like the UFC octagon. It was just a platform you fought on. So you go in for 1 3-minute round, you fight, you go back in the locker room, you have halftime, and you come back out, you do it all over again. And obviously, each starter has a backup just in case something happens. So the only way that you never actually go out if you're a starter is if you get knocked out. Okay, so I'm now invited onto this team. I've got two amateur fights, I've got one professional fight. Everyone in the league has at least 25 to 30 professional fights plus. So I am, when I say I'm a baby at that time, I am a baby. I'm 21 years old. I was brought on this team to pretty much be a cheerleader, to get some experience, and just to be around some veterans who, could do things that I couldn't do. Learn what these guys are doing. Are they eating properly? Are they what are they doing for, as far as training? Are they running 10 miles a day? Are they doing 10,000 push-ups? Whatever they're doing, that's what you're going to do. We're going to put you in for next season. I was okay with that because I got a chance to travel. I got a chance to see Chuck Norris. It was all good. I'm just living the dream now.
Yeah, but you're learning the discipline, Randy. You are learning the discipline.
And I'm learning the discipline. And so that was my mindset going into this season. You're not going to fight. Cool. No big deal. So one specific night, the guy who I was backing up at the time, that was 195 pounds. I was a super cruiserweight at that time. I'm backing him up. He goes out for his fight. It was a 1 3-minute round. Him and his opponent, they're going at it back and forth. Okay, I'm cheering him on from the sidelines, and it comes to a draw. So nothing happened. And so I said, okay, cool, no big deal. He gets 30 minutes to rest. 30 minutes to rest. So I'm gonna go backstage, I'm gonna pump him up, get him ready, hold some mitts for him, motivate him, do what I can for a young 21-year-old pup, and he'll go back out there. So this guy decides, he sits in the seat, he pouts, he throws a tantrum. I'm not going back out. He's flipping out, he's saying all kind of crazy words. And when you have that team setting, we have multiple coaches. So it wasn't just one coach. We have like five coaches. You have five coaches trying to get this guy to prepare himself to go back out there. Now, mind you, we had 30 minutes. His answer was no. Now I got a headache, my jaw hurts, my legs hurt, my shoulder hurts, my right arm hurts, the arm that I've been knocking people out with, I can't use it, so I don't want to go out because I'm too afraid to lose. That was his answer. And so I'm watching this from afar going, man, that's kind of scary. But I'm also going, maybe I might have a chance to go in. So
Wow.
next thing I know, I get a pat on the back. These words always resonate in the back of my head, always. Randy, I hate to do this to you, but I have to throw you in. Now, when I say that, it wasn't out of excitement. It wasn't like, okay, woohoo, yes. It was out of panic. It was out of, I'm afraid. You're a baby. Imagine like throwing your kid into the lion's den. That it's that panicky feeling of, I'm not gonna see you again. And whatever happens to you, I just want you to know I love you, and I'm in spirits with you, but there's nothing I can do. I mean, the coaches even called my parents just to let them know. And why I bring that up is because it wouldn't have mattered because nobody knew who I was but my parents in that arena. We fought in front of like 9,000 people. So I get ready. I'm going down there and I'm about to fight a guy who has never been knocked out. This guy has 20 plus fights. Last thing I hear before I go out there, use your reach. Now, to whatever that could even mean, that's the last thing I heard. I'm going down there. They call my name. We got this big Titantron. So I'm walking down. I'm seeing all the lights, and then I'm seeing myself on this big Titantron screen. I'm just going, whoa, this is like a dream, right? So I'm slapping myself in the face, trying to wake up. But the round goes. The bell goes ding. So we're moving around. I'm throwing punches. He's throwing punches. I'm throwing kicks. He's throwing kicks. I throw a spinning back thrust kick. So I spin and I throw a kick and I hit him in the gut. Boom. Okay. I drop him to the ground. Okay. The referee goes over and gives him a standing eight count. So he's kind of got this grueling look on his face, and he stands back up. So that was another aha moment. I said, oh, he didn't like that. So this time I said, okay, I'm gonna go over there. I'm gonna throw another spinning back thrust kick, but this time I'm gonna jump into it. I'm gonna jump and throw all my weight into it, all 195 pounds into it. So if we know anything about Newton's law, that's what I did. And I did just that. I go over there, I throw a jump spinning back thrust kick, I put all my weight into it, boom, dropped him. And this time he didn't get up.
Wow.
So, to me, that was a great moment. But the most exciting part about that whole fight was I happened to look over, and Chuck Norris is right there just cheering, just clapping, like, oh, bravo, that was so awesome, that was so amazing. So, like, I was fanboying, like, man, this is Chuck Norris applauding a little kid like me. And so when I got back into the locker room, the teammates who saw me as this little kid, like, what is he doing on this team? He's got two amateur fights and one professional fight. I walked up hills and valleys to get here, and who does he think he is? They finally saw, wow, this kid is really going to be something one day. And that's where I got my nickname, Boom Boom, from that fight.
Boom, boom.
Boom
That's
Boom.
awesome. All right, so now you've kind of got, you really you're in the lights. You meet Chuck Norris, okay, and then take me through. Is it Mike Sherrard? What's the champ that you fought to win some championships?
So that fight, I was on cloud nine. We were all cheering, woohoo, yeah, Randy's awesome, boom, boom. So now I've earned my keep. So now I'm a part of the actual lineup. So the very next fight, which is a month or so down the road, they throw me in there. Now this time, I fight a guy named Mike Shepard. I
Shepherd.
didn't know that he was a world champion at the time. I just looked at him as another fighter. And I was able to hang in there with Mike Shepard. So there was a couple times in the fight where I lost some points, and he really started scoring more points. And at the end of the day, he got his hand raised. So I was a little bummed out because nobody likes to lose, right? So after the fight, we have what's called a post-fight party. That's just where all the fighters, all the staff and media and camera crew, we all get together and just hang out. Mike Shepard, being a very humble martial artist, a very respectful person, he walks up to me, he looks me in the eyes, and he says, hey, that was a great fight. I just want you to know, he says, I beat you based off experience. I knew you were young, but I can tell you, if you'll stick with this, you'll become a world champion one day. That's what Mike told me. So my feelings were still hurt, and I was still kind of down. I go over, I sit. About 5 minutes after our conversation, I noticed, I looked over to my right, and there was like a big crowd of people. I mean, it almost looked as if there was a fight going on. So I rush over there, and I saw Mike Shepard in the middle. And so there's all these fighters surrounding Mike. And Mike is just simply talking about his life, he's talking about his discipline, he's talking about the things that Mike Shepard does to prepare for fights, before, during, and even after fights. He talked about what he did to prepare for me. And that was my aha moment, because prior to, I was still clubbing, I was still bouncing, I was training maybe once, maybe twice a week, I was doing nothing but using my athleticism. And if you look at my clearly, I was a more athletic guy, but Mike had the brains. Mike had the technical. And that's what goes into any sport. You can be as athletic as you want, but if you don't have any discipline, if you don't have any skill sets, any real hardcore mindset, it's hard to win games, it's hard to win championships. And so that's what I learned listening to Mike. There was a lot of things he sacrificed, things that he did weeks and weeks prior to his fight. And Howard, that changed my whole career, because after that, I completely cut off the clubs. I'm training two, three times a day. I'm literally taking the Mike Shepard formula, and I go on a 25 winning streak, with about between, I would say, 15, 17, 18 knockouts within those 25 wins. And I didn't really do this to do this, but it put me in a position to now become the number one contender to now compete for a world title. And come to find out, 4 years later, Mike Shepard himself has the world title. And so he finds out that I'm the number one contender. And so when you're the world champion, you decide because you're on the A side. And when you're the world champion, you decide what type of gloves we're gonna wear, you decide the location of the fight, you decide the ring we're gonna fight in, you decide how many rounds we're gonna fight, you decide all the rules. The contender just shows up and he has to just abide by the rules and do what the A side wants. So Mike decides, oh, it's Randy Blake. Great guy, but I'm the world champion. And oh, by the way, I want to fight Randy in his hometown because I want to embarrass him in front of his home crowd. And I'm going to do him just how I do my kids when they get out of line. So we end up fighting. We fought here in Oklahoma. And but the difference was it wasn't 1 3-minute round. So this was a 5 3-minute round fight. So meaning after that 3 minutes is up, you get 1 minute rest in between rounds and you go back right out, you fight again. And we were doing Muay Thai rules. So that played to my favor because I'm a long guy. I have long reach. So I love throwing knees. I have my side kicks, and I can continue to clinch and ragdoll him around. And so we got in there fight night, and that was a totally different animal. I was more mature. I had some experience under my belt. I had some mentorship, and this wasn't a 3 3-minute round fight where I have to just go, nonstop full throttle action. I could really hone into my craft and my confidence, and I actually ended up finishing Mike Shepard in the fourth round with a jump knee. And so I ended up getting my hand raised, and that was my first world title. And that happened in 2012.
Wow. Oh my God. That's such an incredible story. That you beat the master. Okay. You learn from him. But you did tribute him because you changed your life. You started to get real serious. You made it actually a focus. You changed your diet and you basically you actually fulfilled the prediction and prophecy of Master Kick and of Mike Shepard. Okay. And became a champ. And that's incredible. Because it's a very rare thing to be able to rise up and do that, and it's just incredible. And I like to tell people, okay, that we all get knocked down in life, and you got knocked down, okay. You were a humble kid, but you got knocked down a whole bunch. You lost some fights too, but you won the big one. I got knocked down twice from cancer. I got knocked down lots of little times in my life, but I've been able to get back up again. And we all must get back up in life and in business and in careers and in relationships. And you just it's such an inspirational story. Now, take me through just a couple things. What do you think the big lessons? Because you got hurt too. You had some serious injuries. You tell me your concussions. You didn't know if you ever got concussed, but I mean, you're putting your body on the line, okay? And could scramble your brain up and things like that. But did something happen to your bicep?
So that happened in 2016.
Okay.
So at that time, I was going for my third world title. So I had my first world title in 2012, and then I won it again in 2015. And in 2016, to me, that was probably my greatest fight ever. Because at that point, I was considered in my peak, in my eyes. I was in the zone. I mean, I'm doing some incredible things in training, and I just felt like Superman because the mindset is just completely pure. I was fighting a guy from Great Britain, and now that I'm the world champion, I decide where the fights are at. So why not bring these shows to my own hometown in front of my own home crowd? So when you're before you fight, we train, we do all those things, but the most important part of the training is training your opponent. And so you have to be able to play chess. So it's all about chess. It's all about thinking 2 and 3 moves ahead. It's all about taking your strengths and applying them to your opponent's weaknesses. And so one of the things that my coaches and I decided was every time my opponent throws a right kick, he always drops his right hand. So what that means is he's open to a left hook, all day long. So we drilled that for weeks, weeks. And I'm left-handed. So